You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
What's up, everybody? It's Rachel Simone, and you are tuned into Crazy on Paper, a trailblazing podcast dedicated to changing the thoughts behind the mental health stigma by detailing funny, intimate, honest, and true stories relevant to mental health. So for you guys that follow me, I was doing the Crazy Girlfriend. So this is like Crazy Girlfriend 2.0, a better version of that. So we're here to just have some fun, talk about mental health, and change our mindsets. Changing your mindset is a very hard thing to do, especially as you get older. I'm 31, and I'm really changing everything about myself from what I learned as a child. It's a very challenging, fun, interesting experience, but I'm here for you all, and we just want to have some good fun. So we have a really special guest, my friend, my mentor, business partner, baby mama, like all those things together. Marcy B of Marcy B Marketing. Okay, so tell us a little bit about you first.
Hey, everybody, it's Marcy B. I am the queen of marketing systems. I have about 20 years of experience with the marketing, communications, sales, customer service, on a variety of related things. I am excited to be here today to talk about how mental health has played a role in my desire to go after my dreams and stop just working a regular job that was not bad. It was just paying the bills, but it wasn't anything that I was passionate about, and how that really affected my mental health and my emotional journey. So I'm excited to get into the interview.
Yeah, I think we all, if you currently don't have had a job that you were like, listen, you have to have a drink every day you leave that job. You're so stressed out. You have no idea what to do. So, you know, you have to get the boring stuff out of the way. Got to throw a little numbers to you guys. Okay. So this is from the National Alliance of Mental Illness. Approximately 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. experience mental illness in a given year. That's 46.6 million people. Okay. For you people who like the big numbers. Okay. Approximately 1 in 25 adults in the U.S. experience a serious mental illness in a given year. Okay, that limits them to one major life activity. So when we kind of talk about work, you know, everything's about the money, right? So serious mental illness costs America $193.2 billion in lost earnings. And so when we talk about working, I see so many people. How many times do we see people on the internet? I'm so stressed out about my job. I'm looking for a new job. You know, we're switching jobs constantly. You know, we're 6 months here, we're 6 months there because we're experiencing just so much stress and anxiety from the jobs that we're in. So tell us about your experience with that job that kind of almost took you over.
So working at this place, they treat the employees, generally speaking, very well. The atmosphere and the ambiance are very nice. There's a lot of rewards for being successful. And I was making great money, not doing anything that was particularly hard, but I was on the telephone. I was talking to people who were always mad about something that I didn't do.
What kind of job was it? Insurance?
No.
Oh,
it was,
that's always the
it
worst
was retention.
One. Oh, yeah. Oh, you had the real fun job.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say the company name.
Okay. Of course.
But yes, it was retention. So I was a person that people talked to once they were fed up with the company, and I was responsible for saving them and selling them. So it wasn't enough to just hold on to the customer. You had to try to upgrade them in the package in the middle of all this pissivity, right? It was very, very overwhelming and frustrating. And, I got really sick. And I thought that it was just, I thought I was losing weight because I was eating fruit every morning. And then all of a sudden,
you thought you were getting your sexy on because you were doing right.
yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I'm dropping these pounds. I'm eating this fruit. I'm drinking my water and everything. And things are going well. And then all of a sudden, I completely passed by my goal weight and I'm still losing weight. And I'm like, why am I losing this weight? And then I noticed I was getting very exhausted.
So is that, like, when did you, is that what made you kind of prompt you to say, okay, what's happening here? You know, when did you first realize that something was off and that it was your job that was giving you that?
Well, I came out of training in October of that particular year, and by December, I started getting sick. But it took me until July of the following year to try and find out what was wrong. because, again, I didn't even notice there was an issue until my weight loss was so significant. I just couldn't hold on to it after I had, you know, my goal. So I went to a doctor and I had to go like all these tests and colonoscopy. And they're like, we can't find anything. We believe it's stress. And then they mentioned, what is your job like? And my initial response was, man, you crazy.
It's great, right?
I love my job. Yeah. I don't hardly do nothing. I sit here and listen to these crazy people talk all day and I get paid real well. I get like $3,000, $4,000 commission checks. Plus I got this nice base pay and I'm getting all these bonuses. What you mean? It couldn't be my job. And then I found out I hated my job and didn't even know it.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about it. My husband works in insurance, so call center over the phone, and he's constantly hearing bad stories, negative stories, and he didn't realize how much it was weighing on him either, because like you say, he's like, I love my job. Mm-hmm. He can say he's a good job. He loves Blue Cross. he loves working at Blue Cross, but the type of job is very stressful and strenuous. And I think so many of us, when we're working these jobs, especially customer service work, where we have to, even if you're working in retail,
Someone
could be having a bad day and you're a cashier. And then now you're like, wait a minute, you know, you're feeling the vibes and we're going back and forth. We experience so much stress from our jobs that we aren't recognizing. And again, you know, back to little numbers. So individuals living with mental illness face an increased risk of having chronic medical conditions. So we're talking about those things, the chronic stress and anxiety and those things that kind of come up where we're like, oh, we can get over it. You know, losing weight up and down a lot. Yeah. That's a really good, you know, kind of an indicator for people to look at. Like you said, people are like, oh, well, I've been juicing every day, right? So I'm good. So I'm not. And it's really that stress. So what made you say, okay, I need some help?
I took the time off and I felt better. I changed my diet, and I was really at peace. And I felt well and whole and healed. And I went back to work, and in under 2 weeks, I got sick again. And I had to come back out of work, and it took me months. So it would take me months to readjust my life, and then I would go back in, and within weeks, I was sick again. And so there was a certain point where the doctor said, I can sign you off to go back to this company, but I cannot sign off on you going back to this role because role is killing you.
So what was it about the role that was so stressful?
Well, there are a lot of things. So you're in a call center. If you need to use the bathroom, you can't get up.
Please go look up call center memes and funny videos so that you guys can really see. It's like a whole new world.
It's a real,
if you've never worked in call center.
Like trying to hold your bodily functions, that alone is stressful because it's retention. People are not trying to quit for good reasons. They're usually mad about something, and there was never any accountability for the person who did it. But your whole livelihood was on the line while people cussed you out and dogged the mess out of you. You still had to be kind to them. So I am not a pushover. I'm not the type of person where people can say whatever they want to me and get away with it. So you are chopping away at the fibers of my being by you pouring negativity into me all day long. And the only thing I'm allowed to give, or I lose my job, is positive energy. I only got so much positive to give if there's no positive being poured into me. So I end up being on empty. And now you just getting autopilot fumes of positivity.
And that's, I feel like that's what's happening to all of us in work and our relationships. We're trying so hard to just stay positive, right? You know, you see the positive vibes only. We only do positive things, but the reality is a lot of the situations that we're in are negative.
Yeah.
So it's only, like you said, it's only so many affirmations, only so many books you can read if you don't have, you know, people, like you said, pouring positivity back into you.
Yeah. So the environment, I started realizing that I was having trouble sleeping and I would have nightmares about phone calls. So it was like the song that doesn't end. It was like the bad phone call that doesn't end. My whole life was just like one never ending long bad phone call. It gave me so much anxiety that when I first started working here, I moved to the neighborhood so that I would be able to get to work easily. I didn't even like driving down the highway that my job was located in. After I quit, I moved. After I left that position, I got a job in Lafayette, Indiana with unpaved roads and farmland. I had to
I want to get completely away from whatever.
I had to get so far. I had to change my entire life so that I could find some peace that was like some lasting peace. And it was also the last time I worked a job that wasn't about my zone of genius and passion. I said, living a mediocre life almost killed me.
Oh, let's talk about that. Yeah. We talk a lot about, you see a lot of, you know, self-help books and a lot of social media kind of centered around kind of following your passion and your dreams. How do you think people can kind of work both? You know, say you, everyone's situation is different. I was able, you know, I'm able to kind of float around because my husband works consistently. You know, I can float around, maybe quit here and there, or maybe do this. And we know that that's not a reality for everyone.
Most people.
So what are some things that maybe, you know, you think people can do to kind of say, okay, I know what my passion is. I'm not necessarily working in that.
You have to discipline your passion. You have to make your own opportunities. So for me, I did a lot of freelancing with very small companies, startup companies. But you do big things and you make a difference. You think about the benefit of that, which is if it's a small company, then you should have room for innovation. You should have room for autonomy. You should have room for big roles, big titles. So what if it's only a small startup? You're still a marketing director.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So you think about it like that. Volunteer when you can. If you've got a nonprofit organization or a sorority or something like that, get your practice in wherever you can. Don't be afraid to do work for free because you haven't proven yourself.
Uh-oh. Did you guys hear that one?
You get what you pay for.
Some work you do have to do. Some opportunities, depending on, you know, where the opportunity is coming from, is worth more than maybe the little $100 you'll get for.
Absolutely. Especially if you don't have, like, if you are a career professional and you don't have any apprenticeship, internship, externship experience, you have to go put in the work somewhere because nobody's going to trust you with their business without you being able to show that you have some experience. A lot of these jobs don't have any reliable training. I mean, unless you're like for real in a Fortune 500 company where everything is so structured, all you're doing is jumping in and filling a role.
Retail jobs, customer service, they...
Yeah,
and I'll say this, I am a professional job getter. Okay. If anyone that knows me, I've worked a lot of jobs and I've gotten way more jobs than I worked. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I also know that it's something that if you are feel like you're stuck in your job, there are other positions out here.
And continue your education. So when I graduated with my bachelor's degree, I was a little bit nervous because in my field, they said you had to have 2 years of experience to get into an agency as an advertising. Well, where do you get the experience if nobody lets you in, if everybody says you need 2 years? Where does it come from? Does it come from if everybody says that entry level? That's not entry level. That's intermediate.
That's every college student's fear or plight. Yeah, it's like, okay, so we graduate and they say, well, you need 4 years of experience. And this is
so I thought that I was going to be in an agency and I got stuck in sales because I didn't have the experience that they were looking for. So it's like, well, this is all that I can do. And in the meantime, I'll find freelance work here and there. So I was working about maybe two or three freelance part-time roles in addition to working with the main company that I started my sales career in. And just making sure that you're taking advantage of those opportunities. I went and got an MBA and I also went and got a digital design certification. And
at the same time?
After the other, and still doing part-time work, volunteering here and there. Make sure that you're building your portfolio, whatever it is your profession is. Make sure you're doing that.
Okay, so you left your job, you moved in a completely different atmosphere than you were at.
Away from everybody that loved me, but I got my first marketing director role with a large multimillion-dollar corporation, and I was able to negotiate something that worked for me, a bigger salary than I'd ever had, the ability to work from home a couple of days per week, some really nice vacation time. I wrote my own rules for the first time in my life, and it was thrilling and exhilarating.
So people, this is what they say when they say get uncomfortable. Moving, we all like the cheers aspect, right? Go where everyone knows your name. Like where you're comfortable, people know you, they love you.
Nah, go where the money is.
I mean, and sometimes going where the money is means being uncomfortable. It means being in the country and riding down dirt roads instead of seeing the lovely city lights that we see here in Detroit.
But I got a chance to watch the sunset over a river on my way to work every morning. And it was beautiful.
That sounds great. Maybe one day I can do that.
I don't miss those dirt roads because I'm a D girl to my heart, but I needed it in that moment.
So after that happened, you got out of that job.
I love that job, but my mother got terminally ill and I had to leave to come back home and see about family because we still prioritize. Definitely go where the money is, but never forget where home is.
Always. So how do you manage that work-life balance? You kind of mentioned about having to kind of freelance and then still do this. And now you have a beautiful baby.
I do.
And how do you maintain your work-life balance?
It's really difficult. It's good that I have a support system. I'm grateful that I have the type of work that I can do from anywhere as long as I have access to a computer. I'm also grateful to have a partner that is gainfully employed and very financially responsible and supportive of our family, which gives me some flexibility to really be thoughtful in the legacy that I'm trying to create for us. You know, being a creator and innovator, it takes time. It takes a lot of energy. And that's really hard being a mom, trying to figure all that out. I'm still trying to figure it out every day. But just having a support system where you can get away, have 8 hours to go work on a project if you need to, or pull an all-nighter if you need to.
So for you guys who are like, okay, my mom's not going to watch my child. She's not going to do anything. I don't have a support system. There are people out here. There are resources available for you. I hear so much about care.com. I'm about to find a babysitter for Simone at care.com.
There are also a lot of in-house daycares that will allow you to just bring your child for the day. They've got daily rates. So you can sign like a full-time contract where you go every day, or you can sign a part-time contract where it's usually not more than $40 per day. And it's usually like 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's for the whole day. That includes their meals and whatever the other amenities are. So those are some really good options. And then you've also looking at virtual assistants or outsourcing, or just being realistic. You got time versus money. So if you don't have the money, you have to be willing to invest the time to learn the craft to do it yourself. You can't say no to both and actually be serious about growing in any capacity.
Let's repeat that again. You cannot say no to both. If you have the money, then you're free to go and do and
spend the money,
pay for everything that you can.
Spend the money for somebody to spend else to spend the time to do it and to learn it.
Get a business advisor, you know, digital marketing strategist, all of those things. If not, you have to give the time, guys. Yeah. We got to stop wasting our time going out and brunching it up. I mean, every now and again. But
let's be honest about the reality of time. It is more valuable than money. We can always make more money. No matter what we do in life, we never get more than 24 hours in our day.
Right. Okay. So this is kind of the big main crunch of it. Let's talk about stigma. So stigma is, you know, this being my intro show, is something that I'm literally, people are dying because of stigma. We're refusing to get treatment. We're refusing to get help. We're refusing to be open and honest about what's happening with us, our depression, our anxiety, our schizophrenia, being bipolar, because we're like, I don't want to be called crazy.
Oh, boy.
That's why I'm here.
I'm so glad we got to this part, because I remember having to go to counseling about the situation.
Oh, yes.
With the weight loss. And I'm thinking that it's just about my stomach. I'm just having an upset stomach. No, it was caused by stress and anxiety from work. And so my doctor was like, you need to go see somebody. I'm like, I got to go see somebody.
About what? Right.
My stomach hurt.
That's why I'm here, to see you.
And so, then, you know, I go and I'm feeling very defensive at first, but then I'm like, what am I here for? I'm not crazy. Then I'm like, am I crazy? I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. Am I crazy?
What is it about the word crazy that kind of makes people like, I don't want to own that, right? We own so many other words. We want to be called so many. We have so many titles and labels and these. Why do you think this word is such a stressor for people?
Because it's like, you are an unstable creature.
Mm-hmm.
When you're crazy, you are unpredictable. You are a threat. People don't know what to expect from you. Maybe you don't even know what to expect from yourself.
Guys, I want us to turn, my goal is to turn the word crazy into a positive.
Well, I mean,
it's not.
And you can be crazy, but be specific about what you're going to be crazy about and what crazy really means to you. Like, I'm crazy about parenthood. I'm crazy about marketing.
I'm crazy about
my family. I'm crazy about not staying at the club until 2 a.m. because crazy things happen after closing.
I don't even think I could stay up till 2 a.m. Being out, at least, I probably could stay
up
till 2 a.m.
Listen, I went out last night and it took everything in me to stay up until 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah. I probably can make, like, midnight is, like, cap for me when we talk about staying out, guys. I'm just saying. Like,
I could have fell asleep.
I can't get there. I don't know how y'all do it after 30.
I could have fell asleep at the club last night. It was possible.
My cousin, sorry, girl, I love you, but Janae, she's good for falling asleep at the club. She knows that she is.
Like, oh, my gosh, that bass is so soothing.
Okay, so you went to therapy. Mm-hmm. You were feeling a little, like, no, this is not for me. You went, and then how did you feel?
I got a chance to be honest with myself, and that's when I found out I actually did hate my job. It was rewarding financially, but genuinely speaking in terms of the interaction and what I had to do and deal with in order to get the money, I hated it. And I actually decided that I'd rather be broke than be stressed the hell out.
I know. People always assume that because people are maybe poor, live in poverty, that they're stressed. No, they're happy. You know, who said it? Biggie, was it Biggie or P. Diddy? More money, more problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing. So if you can't handle your problems while you are broke or somewhere in the middle, then you definitely can't handle them once you get the money. What would you tell people about your therapy experience? Love, hate, try it, maybe go to church. Which one?
I don't think the church is a substitute for therapy in any way.
And
your pastor is not meant to be your therapist. Maybe a spiritual advisor, but spirituality and mental health are not related.
I agree. I was born and raised in a church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most
so
people that know me know I went to me and all my cousins with the same
and
small church.
And telling your pastor all your business under the guise of therapy is not always advised either, okay?
Yes, our whole family was
find
there.
A different pastor.
Yeah, so we feel kind of obligated.
Separated.
You know, especially as black people. You know, we have this obligation to the church and Christianity, and that's another conversation for another day. But in saying that, you know, we have to really evaluate, like, are we getting treated properly? Or are we healing? Because we don't want to take our problems outside of the church, right? Or outside of our family.
Yeah, I didn't even know that I had a problem.
Yeah.
Like, my doctor made me go. It was like, no, like, this is part of my recommendation for you. It's in your chart that this is what you need to do.
So many of us don't know we have problems, but we know that there's something off about us, right?
Yeah.
So, but it comes back to that stigma, that one word that we're like, oh no, I can't go to therapy. Because once you get a label, whatever label that might be, anxious, depressed.
Well, what it is when you go to those spaces, you're no longer allowed to be comfortable. You have to put everything on the table. And then once you put it on the table, then you have to deal with it. You have to get that pop off. You got to pop that top on Pandora's box. And then what? Then you have to look at yourself. Then you have to deal with yourself. Then you have to be honest with yourself. Then you have to discipline yourself. Then you have to grow yourself.
I know.
People don't want to do that work. What?
They don't. I made a post the other day saying,
It's hard. But it's so worthwhile.
It's really hard. But I think it's hard because we've been told that it's hard, right? So this one comes back to kind of changing your mindset. What's the difference between getting up and going to work every day or learning a new job or becoming an engineer or a doctor? These, you know, things where it takes time and you have to go to school for so many years to be mm-hmm. a doctor. Everything that you do that's going to be good and save and heal and those types of things, it's going to take some time.
Yes. I remember helping my brother out with his math, and he thought that he just wasn't good at math. And I said, no. You miss something. You miss some fundamentals along the way, and that's not necessarily your fault. If you don't know the order of operations, there's no way that you can be good at math.
Right.
You have to have your fundamentals in order. And it's not that you can't be good at it. It just means it's going to take you more time to discipline that craft. And working on your mental health and becoming a better human being require the same level of time invested in discipline.
Guys, it requires time. You can't go to one yoga class. You can't go to one therapy session and say, hey, I'm done. So what are your thoughts now? Are you still actively in therapy now? Is this something that you're pursuing? Are you?
I'm not actively in therapy right now. There are still people that I talk to about things like you. You're one of my you're one of my hood therapists.
Yeah, right. You know how everybody's ghetto therapist. Thanks, guys. Love you.
My mother's no longer here, but I have aunties and a whole lot of close friends of hers that I'm able to go and talk to about womanhood things, about relationship things, motherhood things. I've got mentors, people that I trust that I'm not afraid to peel back those layers and be vulnerable so that I can keep myself in check.
And it's important to have a support system, guys. And what I often see is that people just want their families to be that, right? But sometimes it might be someone you just might met. It might be a business partner that you have.
It might be somebody that you've never even met, and you're reading their stuff and find out some stuff about you that's not quite right.
And I think something that we all should understand, even when it comes to if you're not ready to go to therapy, if you're like, okay, wait, let me take a step back, you have to talk about it to understand it and to know. So talk to some of your friends about your problems that are going on. Be open with people. We kind of live in this, kind of keep it to ourselves, but don't keep it to ourselves.
But how about don't be afraid to talk to yourself. Don't be afraid to look in the mirror. Don't be afraid to analyze and overanalyze yourself. I remember when I had desires to grow and become a better human being and mature. It didn't start with other people telling me. I mean, I've been hearing other people tell me forever.
But you knew the whole time.
No, because that wasn't where I was in life. I hear you, but I don't care about that because that's not where I want to be. But when I had the personal desire to become a better person, it started with this little feeling on the inside of me. Don't ignore that little feeling in the inside of you that something needs to change, because it only grows bigger.
That's what we call intuition.
And discernment.
Use your intuition and your discernment. It's there for a reason. So go get help.
That's your
compass. Don't let stigma stop you from what you're doing. No one is worth your life. So how can people reach you for marketing, mommy life, fun stuff, whatever?
Yes. You can reach me at Marcy B Marketing. That's MARCIB Marketing. I am on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. You can also check out my website, MarcyBMarketing.com.
And you guys can always hit me up at Rachel Simone Media and at Crazy on Paper. And in the famous words of my favorite champagne poppy, a.k.a. Drake, call me crazy. Shit, at least you callin'. This is Rachel Simone, and you're tuned in to Crazy on Paper.